Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Please repeat after me. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception.
Being beyond the range of limited sense perception.
You are the eternally irreproachable factor.
You are the eternally irreproachable factor.
Covered by the curtain of deluding energy.
Covered by the curtain of deluding energy.
You are invisible to the foolish observer.
You are invisible to the foolish observer.
Exactly as an actor.
Exactly as an actor.
Dressed as a player.
Dressed as a player.
Is not recognized.
Is not recognized.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake Him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride Him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who are rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord Himself appears amongst us as Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, or in His original form as Krishna, He performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible, as we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature. Lord Krishna exhibited His humanly impossible activities even from the days of His lying on the lap of His mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and He sucked out her very life also. Similarly, He lifted the Govardhan hill, just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella, and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like the Puranas, Itihasas, histories, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of the Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities as Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Sankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities of the line. He Himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet, there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to the poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Krishna even when He was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize Him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientist. They want to know everything by the experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as adhokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. all our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the woman class, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques, or churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about Him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temple, mosque, or churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon Him by active service. Maya jaganika channam agyadhok shajam abhayam na lakshashe murhadrisha nato nato dharojata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So Queen Kunti is speaking like this about Krishna. Krishna was about to leave Hastinapur. The battle of Kurukshetra was won. The Pandavas were reinstated in their kingdom. And Krishna's duty was done. Krishna protected his devotees and he took care of them very nicely. He established his devotees in the throne of the whole world, the kingdom of the whole world. And when Krishna is about to leave, Queen Kunti tried to stop Krishna. And here she is offering her heart to him. And here she is describing that Krishna's identity is covered by the deluding energy of Krishna. Maya javanika channa. Agya adhokshajam. Agya adhokshajam abhayam. So Krishna is adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means, the word adhokshaja means adhokrita indriya iti adhokshaja. Adho means putting down, and akshaja means sense perception. So in plain simple word, adhokshaja means beyond our sense perception, beyond the range of our sense perception. When the sense perceptions are left behind or kept underneath. So, beyond the sense perception is the spiritual reality. Which means that with our senses, we cannot possibly understand the spiritual nature. The spiritual reality cannot be perceived by our mundane senses. With our material senses, we can only see material. That also, just a limited range of material objects. We can see only just a small range of light. We can hear only a small range of sound. although there are light rays beyond red and below, I'm sorry, beyond violet and below red, but we cannot see them. Our perceptions are only between red and violet. The range of light between red and violet can be perceived. Similarly, sound also is perceived only up to sonic range. There is supersonic or beyond the hearing range and below hearing range. So those sounds we cannot hear. So this way we can see that our senses, namely eyes, ears, nose, touch, tongue, mind, they are very, very limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by these senses. Therefore, another name of Him is Adho Akshaja. And Abhayam, He is inexhaustible. Abhayam, irreproachable. He is eternal, He is constant, He is undiminishing. Krishna never deteriorates. He always remains the same eternal, supreme, absolute personality of Godhead. So Queen Kunti is offering prayers to Krishna in this way. Queen Kunti knew that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. She knew that Krishna is beyond our sense perception. She knew that Krishna is irreproachable. But she also recognized that very mercifully Krishna has manifested Himself within our sense perception. Although Krishna is beyond our sense perception, but Krishna very mercifully, out of His causeless mercy, manifests Himself within the range of our sense perception. And that's why she is saying that just as an actor cannot be when he plays a role, he dresses up to play that role, then observers or spectators cannot recognize the actor. He thinks, the observer thinks that the actor is that personality whose role he is actually playing. Like when somebody plays the role, an actor plays the role of Napoleon Bonaparte. So, those who are observing, those who are seeing, they think that is Napoleon, isn't it? They identify the actor with the personality. Or somebody plays the role of Julius Caesar. So he thinks that is Julius Caesar. Somebody plays the role of Mark Antony. So he thinks the actor to be Mark Antony. He doesn't recognize the real identity of the actor. But he identifies himself with the role that he plays. So here Queen Kunti is telling Krishna that you are just like an actor. And the role that you play it absolutely perfectly. And na lakshashe mudhadrisha. Those who are mudhadrisha, the foolish observers, they cannot recognize you. Now of course, Krishna's role is a little different. Generally, the actors play the role of some great personality. But Krishna is the greatest personality who is playing the role of an ordinary human being. That is the difference in Krishna's acting. Krishna plays, when Krishna came, he played the role of an ordinary human being. He did not play the role of the Supreme Personality of God. But although he played the role of an ordinary human being, but still, those who are intelligent, those who are situated in knowledge, could very easily see that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Although Krishna is playing the role of an ordinary human being, but his activities are not ordinary. Krishna took birth as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. In that also he appeared in the prison. Krishna was born in a prison. It must be just to think of it, it is so painful that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being born in a prison. And actually, Kamsa was tormenting Vasudeva and Devaki in a very, very terrible way. It's very inhuman treatment he was giving them. They were not only tied up with chains, but it is mentioned that there was a heavy stone was placed on their chest of Devaki and Vasudeva, so that they could move. So in this way we can see like how what kind of atrocities Krishna's father and mother Devaki and Vasudeva had to go through. And then Krishna was born in a prison. Even an ordinary human being doesn't take birth in a prison. Even an ordinary human being, when the mother is about to give birth, she is sent to the hospital, she is nursing home, she is given so much care and attention. But Krishna was born in the prison house. But although he was born as an ordinary human child, but right from his birth, one could see that how his activities are wonderful. Krishna, right after his birth, he displayed his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this way, those who are situated in knowledge, those who are faithful, those who are Shraddhavan, those who believe in the words of the scriptures and the words of the saintly personalities, they could recognize that Krishna is not an ordinary personality. Although he appeared to be an ordinary person. And that's why Queen Kunti is addressing Krishna as a Nato, as an actor playing a specific role. Nato Nato Dharagata. So Krishna is playing the role of an ordinary human being. But he plays the role so wonderfully. Krishna is the greatest in all respects. Like when he becomes an actor, he's the greatest actor. When he plays the role of a warrior, he's the greatest warrior. When he plays the role of a protector, he is the greatest protector. When he plays the role of a friend, he is the greatest friend. And when he plays the role of a lover, he is the greatest lover. So Krishna is the greatest in all respects. So when he plays the role of an actor, when he becomes an actor, he plays the role of an actor in the most perfect. He is the perfect actor. And he does his wonderful activities in such a wonderful way that one cannot possibly hinder God, especially the foolish people. Therefore Krishna himself said in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mang mudha manushim tanumashrita. Avajananti mang mudha. Mudha, here also we find the expression mudha drisha. What is the meaning of mudha drisha? Mudha drisha, this word is a combination of two words. One is mudha and the other is drisha. So mudha drisha means a first class fool. there are different grades of stupidity. There are different grades of fools. And the greatest fool is called a mudha. And drisha means an observer. So a foolish observer cannot recognize Krishna. Na lakshasya mudha drisha. Or as Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita also, avajananti mang mudha. The fools do not recognize me and they deride me, thinking me manushim tanum ashrita, thinking me to be an ordinary human being. But param bhavam ajananto, they do not recognize my param bhavam. Param bhavam means, param means supreme. And bhavam means position or activity. So they do not recognize Krishna's, all Krishna's supreme transcendental position and activity. Although Krishna appears as a human being, but Krishna's activities are not human, not ordinary. Krishna's activities are always wonderful. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that Krishna killed Putana. How old was Krishna at that time? When Krishna killed Putana? No, 7 days. And he was in Nanda Maharaj's house and Putana came, wanted to kill Krishna. And how did she come to kill? She came dressed as a very beautiful woman. And she was so beautiful that although Nanda Maharaj's house was very well guarded, there are hundreds of guards guarding his house, but this beautiful lady was not at all stopped. She just walked straight into the house. Everybody thought that she was the goddess of fortune herself, Lakshmi Devi. But she came to kill Krishna. Even Mother Jasoda became enchanted by her beauty. So when Putana picked Krishna up on her lap, then Mother Jasoda did not protect. She thought, she didn't object. She also thought that this must be Lakshmi Devi herself. And then Putana offered Krishna her breast, which was actually, instead of milk, the breast was carrying the most deadly poison. The poison of King Cobra, Kalkut. And Krishna, he just went to the lap of Putana. Although he knew who she was, but he just played the role most perfectly. So here is another example. Like, although Krishna was 7 days old, but Krishna was fully cognizant. Krishna knew everything. Krishna was perfectly aware who this person was. But Krishna is bhavagrahi. Krishna simply takes the mood. So because Putana offered her breast to Krishna like a mother, Krishna actually accepted Putana as the mother. But at the same time, Krishna knew that I have to kill this witch. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it has been described, Krishna actually closed his eyes at that time. Because various reasons why Krishna, there are various reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. Krishna closed his eyes, one reason because Putana was so sinful that Krishna didn't want to look at her. He didn't want to look at such a sinful such a sinful person. Another reason why Krishna closed his eyes is because the first person that Krishna is going to kill in his pastimes is a woman. And it is instructed in scriptures that a woman should not be killed. But Krishna was about to kill this witch. So he closed his eyes. So this way there are various reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. But ultimately what Krishna did, Krishna accepted her prayers. And when Putana thought that by drinking the poison, Krishna will be killed, actually Krishna, while sucking her breast, Krishna sucked out her life air. And Putana was dead. She ran out of the house in pain. She tried to get rid of the child, but the child was clinging on to her body. And she and her, in pain, she couldn't hide her identity anymore. That beautiful form was gone. And she manifested her original form. A huge, gigantic witch. You know how long is the body of Putana?
12 months.
Almost. 7 crochets. 2 miles make a crochet. So Putana's body was 14 miles long. So that body was lying there 14 miles long. So such a terrible witch was killed by Krishna. So can anybody do that? Did you ever hear any such activity of any 7-day-old child? Any child who is just 7 days old? That's right, you're right actually. It was 12 miles. Krishna was not 7 days old, he was 6 days old. And his Putana's body was 6 kroshas long. 6 kroshas is 12 miles. And so in this way Krishna started to perform all kinds of wonderful activities right from his childhood. But now consider what happened to Putana. Putana came, that terrible witch came to kill Krishna, a little child. How cruel one must be to derive such pleasure in killing children. Putana's business or Putana's main activity was to kill the newborn children, newborn babies. She was so cruel that she would derive great pleasure by killing the little children and sucking their blood. And but Krishna, and finally she came to kill Krishna. But being killed by Krishna, Putana was delivered. Just like any demon, when he becomes killed by Krishna, becomes delivered. Now what happens to a demon when he is killed by Krishna? Asura harina hata. When a demon is killed by Krishna, he attains liberation. What kind of liberation does a demon achieve when he is killed by Krishna?
Samuji.
He achieves Brahma Sahajvijaya. But what happened to Putana? Did Putana get Brahma Sahajvijaya?
No.
Merging in Brahma Jyoti?
No.
Then what happened to Putana?
She got to God.
Right. She got the position of the mother, Krishna. Not even in Vaikuntha, in Vrindavan, Goloka. Now why did Putana get that position? Because she came as a mother. Just because she came, even though she was pretending to be a mother, just because she came as a mother and offered her breast to Krishna like a mother, so Krishna accepted her as a mother and gave her the liberation and the eternal situation, eternal position as a mother. So this is how wonderful Krishna's activities are. There are so many wonderful activities like that. When Krishna was 1 month old, then Trinavarta came. When Krishna was 1 year old, Shakatashur came. They say one after another the demons are coming and trying to kill Krishna. But what happened? The demons were killed very easily. Trinavarta When Trinavarta came, he came as a terrible whirlwind. I mean, an inconceivable whirlwind. And actually, Trinavarta, when he was asked by Kamsa to go and kill Krishna, Trinavarta thought that Putana went there with a fawn, therefore Krishna could kill. But he would go without a fawn. He would go there as a whirlwind, as a storm. So because he won't have any fawn, Krishna won't be able to kill him. And he was safe in that way. And just before Trinavarta came, Krishna was actually on Mother Jasoda's lap. And Krishna could see, Krishna knew that Trinavarta was coming. And he felt that this demon is coming, so he is going to take me away as a whirlwind. Now, if I am still on my mother's lap, then my mother may be in trouble. Mother may face some danger. So in order to protect Mother Jasoda, Krishna became very heavy. And all of a sudden, Mother Jasoda could not carry Krishna anymore. He became so heavy, so Mother Jasoda placed Krishna on the ground. She couldn't keep her keep him on her lap any longer. And then came, right at that time, the whole of Vrindavan became covered with dust storm. The dust started to fly all over the whole atmosphere. The whole of Vrindavan became dark due to the storm. And Trina means actually dry grass. So along with the dust, the dry grass also started to fly, and the pebbles, and all kinds of things were flying in the air. So no one could actually see anything. So at that time, Trinavarta just came and he carried Krishna. Took him high up in the sky. His idea was that he would drop him from a great height, and that's how he would kill him. So Krishna was taken up by Trinavarta. So Krishna, with his small little hand, Jaya Shri Shradha. The name of the deity is Radha Giridhari?
Radha Vinod.
Radha Vinod. So, Trinavarta was taken up in the sky. Trinavarta took Krishna up in the sky, and Krishna just put his arm around Trinavarta's neck. So when Trinavarta wanted to drop Krishna, then he found that Krishna's arms were around his neck. So he tried to free himself from Krishna's arm and let him go. But he found that those arms, little arms of Krishna, were holding onto his neck like a vice. You know, vice that. And then, just as in a vice, you kind of make it closer and closer and tighter and tighter. So that's what started to happen. Krishna's arm started to get closer and closer in to Trinavarta's neck. And finally, Trinavarta's throat was choked and he couldn't breathe anymore. And the boy also he lost all his strength, and the boy started to become so heavy. So Trinavarta started to fall himself with a tremendous speed from such a height. When something falls from a great height, the acceleration keeps on increasing and becomes faster and faster. So finally Trinavarta fell on the ground from a great height. And where did he fall? He fell on top of a huge stone. And his whole body was smashed into a pulp. So this is how wonderfully Krishna played his pastimes and killed all the demons. Krishna, when he was 7 years old, he lifted Govardhan Hill. He lifted that hill and kept it there for 7 days, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. And Prabhupada gives the example how Krishna held it, just as a little boy holds a mushroom. When a boy holds a mushroom, it doesn't really cause him any effort. Effortlessly he holds the mushroom. Similarly, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and kept it, who held that huge mountain for 7 days. And he held it as an umbrella to protect the residents of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, from Indra's anger. Indra actually got angry with Krishna, residents of Vrindavan, because they didn't worship him. The things that were meant for Indra Puja, they were doing the Indra Puja, worshipping Indra. So on Krishna's instruction, the residents of Vrindavan decided to worship Govardhan with all the paraphernalia. And Indra, when he got to know that, he became very angry. He said, these people of Vrindavan are so foolish that just listening to this little boy's words, they have ignored me, they have insulted me. The ingredients which were actually meant for my offering, for my pleasure, my enjoyment, they have offered it to this mountain called Govardhan. So I will show them and I'll teach them a lesson. So at that time Indra called the cloud of devastation. At the time of devastation, this cloud called Sambartak and a huge thunderstorm, they start showering rain. As a result of that, the whole universe becomes flooded. So that cloud came over Vrindavan and started to pour rain. And all the residents of Vrindavan came running to Krishna. They said, "Krishna, Krishna, there is such a terrible storm and rain coming. What should we do? What should we do?" So Krishna said, "Don't worry." So Krishna just lifted his Govardhan Hill and held it as an umbrella. And in Gopal Champu, Srila Jiva Goswami describes what actually happened at that time. The residents of Vrindavan, they found that due to lifting of Govardhan, a cave was created on the ground. And there was a beautiful staircase leading onto the cave. So they just climbed down the cave. And they found that the cave, the floor of the cave, was studded with beautiful jewels. And the whole place was filled with all kinds of foodstuff and drinks. The walls were decorated with jewels. It was like a huge palace. And they all took shelter there. And Krishna held Govardhan as an umbrella for 7 days. And then finally Indra realized, and that's also quite funny, Indra sent lightning to find out what happened after the rain started to shower, to find out what actually happened in Vrindavan. So he said, "Lightning, you go and find out what happened." So the lightning, in a flash, came and went back. And the lightning reported that Vrindavan is completely empty. Everyone has been washed away or killed by this devastating rain. So Indra got very happy. He said, "Yeah, it's tried to fool around with me, so they learnt a lesson. And he blessed lightning. He said, long live lightning. So then, again, he sent, this time he actually sent the wind. And the wind went and reported something else. He said, it's wrong that everyone is killed. Actually, everyone is fine. Oh, no. Yeah, wind went, yeah, and gave the information that something very strange has happened. The Govardhan, after eating all the offerings that were meant to you, has become very, developed some strange power, and he is flying in the sky. And all the residents of Vrindavan have taken shelter under Govardhan. So Indra said, mountain flying? It's unheard of. There used to be a mountain called Mainak that used to fly, and I cut the wings of Mainak. So is this the same mountain that has grown the wings again and started flying in the sky? Anyway, I will take care of. And he called thunder and sent the thunderbolt to smash Govardhan. But repeated attacks of thunderbolt, they couldn't do anything to the mountain Govardhan. And then the report came to him that actually Krishna is holding Govardhan on his little left hand. And then Indra started to wonder, who is this Krishna actually? And then finally when he realized that Krishna is Narayan himself, his boss, then he became very, very worried. He said, oh, my Lord Narayan must be so angry with me because I have committed such an offense. So, then what to do? Then Krishna took shelter of Surabhi. Indra took shelter of Surabhi. Indra knew that Surabhi is very dear to Krishna. The cows are very dear to Krishna, and especially Surabhi cow, is Krishna's own cow. So he took shelter of Surabhi and said, Surabhi, I committed a great offense to Krishna. So you please come with me and plead to Krishna. So Surabhi agreed. Devotees are always very merciful. And this also shows the best way to approach Krishna is through his devotees. If we approach Krishna directly, then we'll be in trouble. Or if we approach Krishna directly, then Krishna wouldn't care. Who are we? But if we approach Krishna through his devotees, then Krishna recognizes us. We approach him, and when Krishna asks, who are you? We say that I am the disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then Krishna says, oh, I see. Very So this is how the best way to approach Krishna is through his devotees. Because Krishna loves his devotees, and when we identify ourselves through his devotees, then Krishna recognizes us also. So, Indra took shelter of Surabhi and went to Krishna, and then Krishna was pacified. So this is how Krishna performs so many wonderful activities. As even as a child, the demons, that was so terrible that even the demigods were afraid of them. Even the demigods couldn't do anything. So those demons were killed by Krishna as a child, and that also completely effortlessly. So that's why we must recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he comes as an ordinary human being, as an ordinary human child, but he always remains the Supreme Personality Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?
Like for the performance of the Lord's pastime, maybe Krishna or Narayan, if you avatars, like let's say Hiranyakashipu is coming, Hiranyaksha, they are causing so much killing, so much. So what happened to these people who are killed by them because they actually come on the by the will of the Lord who wanted to fight with them? So they
Yeah. You see, in the material nature, things take place by the law of karma. So those who are killed by the demons, we have to understand that it's due to the law of karma, due to their own karma. But because they're devotees of the Lord, say Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they're devotees of the Lord and came to perform certain pastimes with the Lord. Because these people are killed by the demon, I mean by the devotee of the Lord, they get some special benefit. To be killed by a devotee of the Lord is not an ordinary thing. So although due to their karma, due to their karma, they're being killed, due to their own karma they're being killed, but because they have been killed by a devotee, they get some special.
I was always wondering how this worked, and when Devaki and Nanda Maharaj, you know, was in prison, and there was many years there because they got 8 children, and they was also chained up. So how did it function that they got children?
Anyway, it describes that there were stones were placed on their chest. This was actually this precaution Krishna Kamsa took during Krishna's birth. The other time they were not always in prison.
But they did know that they will be killed.
They didn't know.
They did know that
yeah, they knew.
Children will be killed. So why did they make children?
The way did they produce children?
No, why didn't? Yes, why did they make children if they knew that they were going to be killed?
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah. Why did they produce children? Actually, we can look at it the other way around. When the first child of Devaki was born, Kamsa actually gave the child back. Said, "Why should I kill you? Why should I kill this child? This child is not going to kill me. I don't have to be afraid of this child." So when Vasudeva actually brought the child, Kamsa returned the child back to Vasudeva. But then the demigods considered that if this child lives, then they will take, Vasudeva and Devaki will take longer time to produce the next children. Therefore it will be better to get rid of the child as soon as possible. Then the next child will be born quickly. So this way, one after another, 7 children will be born, and the 8th one appearance will be accelerated. So demigods went to Narad Muni and asked him to help them out. So that's why Narad Muni came to Kamsa and told him that from which way it's counted 8? Is it counted front, backward? Or back, front. So if you count from the end child, then maybe the first child can be the 8th one. So this way he advised and said that, so Kamsa said, yes, why take a chance? So he got the child and killed the child. So this way, 6 children were born and they were killed. The 7th one was Balaram, who was transferred to the womb of Rohini on the 7th month. And yeah, so to go back to that point, okay, so now you got the answer. That was your question.
Yeah, this was the first child, but then after they did not, the next will be also killed, so why did they?
Well, it's the...
But to this words, he said that he will kill all the children, so yeah, it was that kind of...
No, his question is why the children were born.
Yeah, but he's not Vasudev. He put his word that he will give all the children.
Yeah, but if he didn't produce the child, then he didn't have to give the child. Well, why, although they knew, why did they produce children, although they knew that the child would be killed? I mean, plain and simple answer will be that, you know, it's the arrangement of providence. And these children, these six children who were born, they were actually cursed to be killed by their own father. They were the children, the Satgarbhas, they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu, that they will be killed by their own father, Kalmini. And Kalnemi in his next life became Kamsa, and he killed them. And, well, another consideration is that why the children were born, produced, well, because they knew that the eighth child will kill Kamsa. So in order to let the eighth child come, they had to produce seven before.
I think in the fifth canto it is explained that the mountains used to fly. So you spoke now about Manaka for mountains. Could you a little bit speak about this mountain? Or, because the understanding was that all the mountains used to fly, at least
Manaka. It must have been in other ages, maybe in Satya Yuga. But then, ultimately there was only one mountain who could fly, that was Mainaka. All the other mountains lost their ability to fly, but only Mainaka could fly. But Mainaka was creating havoc because wherever he would land, everything would be destroyed. So that's why people prayed to the demigods, and then Indra decided to cut the wings of that mountain.
I had one so-called Bhakta candidate, and he was reading the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and he came to the fifth canto, and he was reading this. So he was completely bewildered, and he was asking me to explain it to him. So I couldn't. And I said something, but I don't remember exactly what. I simply said, yeah, anyway, you can't understand it. So then... he lost faith in Krishna, in the Vedic scriptures. So how would you have answered to him? Or
I don't think I would have answered in any different way. But here's a very interesting point, actually. You see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that Sukhdeva Goswami gave the fifth canto so that the materialistic people cannot go beyond that. You see, to go on up to 10th canto, you have to be qualified. Now, those who are materialistically motivated, those who are materialistic, they will get trapped in 5th canto. And they won't be able to go beyond that. And you will find often, you know, like devotees, even some devotees, reading, they get stuck in fifth canto, you know, they can't go beyond that. And ultimately, you know, like, they, if they're not strong enough, they lose faith and go away. But what is the understanding? The understanding is that every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute truth. So we have to have that faith that Bhagavatam doesn't matter how it appears to me through my intelligence, but the words of Bhagavatam is words of Krishna. It's nothing but the absolute truth. And unless and until we have that faith, we won't be able to derive the benefit of reading Bhagavatam. And another consideration is, you see, the fifth canto is the description of the material nature, practically. Right? Now, is the material nature, is material nature absolute or relative? It's relative. Material nature is relative. Relative means, from different individuals' perspective, it will appear to be different. Isn't it? So it's not that we have to have one common understanding of this universe. Somebody who is looking from Sargaloka, he'll get the vision in one way. Like when you go up in a plane, you see the city of Zurich, it appears in one way. When you look at it from the on the land, it looks in another way. When you look at it from underground, I'm sure it will look in another way. So from different perspective, the material nature appears to be different. So an intelligent person will accept, well, that is the perspective of Sukhdev Goswami. He is seeing it from that perspective and he described it that way. So if that perspective doesn't fit into my perspective, doesn't matter, let me just accept it. Yes, you had a question, Tony.
Ich habe im zehnten Kanto gelesen, dass Yogamaya ist die jüngere Schwester von Krishna. Und Krishna ist auch erschienen als Sohn von Yashoda, aber bevor das Yogamaya erschienen ist, weil sonst könnte sie ja nicht die jüngere Schwester sein. Ich würde da ganz wenig erwähnt, würdest du da mehr dazu sagen?
Yogamaya is the younger sister of Krishna. So whether Yogamaya, what was the question actually? I couldn't get that.
Could you explain more about that?
So Krishna is now also from Yashoda.
But Krishna appeared also a son of Madhuri Yashoda. So that Krishna appeared as the son of Madhuri Yashoda before that he appeared as the son of Devaki. So that he could be exchanged. If you were married.
Because she's the younger sister. So he had to be appeared before.
Actually, just as Krishna is eternal, Yogamaya is also eternal. This Maya, who appeared as Krishna's sister, this Maya is not quite younger as such. You can say that they are born at the same time, almost at the same time. But Subhadra Devi is a younger sister who is also Yogamaya. Actually, Yogamaya is not just one form. Yogamaya has many forms. In Vrindavan, Yogamaya is Purnamashi. Purnamashi Devi is Yogamaya in Vrindavan. And that same Yogamaya, also another expansion of Yogamaya is Subhadra. In Dwarka, that Yogamaya is Subhadra. The sister that the daughter of Yashoda that appeared at the time of Krishna's birth, she actually manifested herself in different forms. In that form, she is being worshipped on this planet. And it is described that she, after she slipped out of Kamsa's hand, she actually went to Vindha mountain. There, in the central part of India, there's a mountain called Vindha. So she resides there in Vindha mountain. So is that clear? Okay. The main point is that there are many forms of yoga.
I never heard so much speak about Subhadra, where she grew up.
Subhadra is the younger sister of Balaram. She is the daughter of Vasudeva and Rohini. Balaram's mother is Rohini Devi. So Subhadra is born as the daughter of Rohini Devi. Subhadra was born after they came to Mathura and Dwarka. Like Rohini, after Krishna killed Kamsa, Rohini Devi and also joined Vasudev, first in Mathura and then to Dwarka. So she was born at that time. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai!
Ha ha.